Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox and Four Parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading the charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Shape of a War Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, racism, a thing of the past. Is racism a thing of the past? Are people reporting more acts of racism to authorities? Has media coverage created the appearance of an increase of racial tension and activity, or has it simply been brought racism into the light? From Provocative Thought, it appears there is an increase of chatter, incidents regarding the mistreatment, targeting, abuse, and murder of minorities. Is it a never-ending story or a story that never ends? Are media outlets creating the appearance of racism in the good old U.S. of A? Or has something in the fabric of American society awakened or been encouraged, or has encouraged this monster to prey on minorities? Thought we had gotten better, but we still apparently have a long way to go. We will never truly be a United States if we subject people to racism. We can't stop people from hating through legislation. How can we encourage or discourage them from subjecting others to this madness? How many political and judicial decisions have been made and or influenced by racism? No one should suffer or die simply because you do not like them. Is racism reigning on America? Has it always? Will it always? From the Root, 2008. In Georgia, dozens of black senior citizens are ordered off a bus, taking them to a nearby polling station to cast their ballots. A county clerk for Jefferson County, Georgia, had ordered a senior citizen, about 40 of his residents, right? All whom are black, right? They called the, the sheriff's department or somebody. They ordered them off the bus because local officials felt uncomfortable with allowing the seniors on a bus with an unknown third party. This is these people from Black Votes Matter. What's the third party? So, they ordered the senior citizens. I don't understand that. Senior citizens are adults, and they still have rights as individuals. So I don't understand. How can somebody, the county clerk for Jefferson County, Georgia, order you off a bus you want to go get on to cast a? That's like I'm getting a ride from you, and somebody gonna tell me I can't go with you because I'm a senior citizen. Somebody help me out with that one, because that is baffling to me. Anyway, there's growing concern over voter suppression tactics in Georgia. Apparently, the governor's race, the Democratic nominee, is Stacey Abrams. She called on Republican candidate and Secretary of State Brian Kemp to resign as the state's elections chief. Her call follows an AP report that found Georgia put a hold on more than 53,000 voter registration applications because they didn't meet the state's exact match standard. So that means, I think that means your signature didn't, they didn't match your signature up with, maybe you made an I wrong or different. Something different. Exactly. This is some crazy. This is some Jim Crow stuff. This is, come on. It's 2000 and I guess what? The year don't mean nothing for real. Because that's what I'm learning. Because this stuff is just going on and nobody's, what's going on about it? Look at this. CBS Evening News. Sheila Stubbs, who is about to be the first black state assemblywoman in Wisconsin's 77th district, was campaigning door to door for votes when the police showed up. Somebody called the police on her. She's campaigning door to door. How many times you see that person doing that? Anybody, black or white. She's making a door to door, campaign. Back in July, deputy confronted an Oregon state senator, Janelle Bynum, who was campaigning for reelection. I guess you guys can guess what ethnicity they were. This is some crazy stuff right here. From Vox, from Rachel Heroin. This is 2018. This is some recent stuff right here. She said she used to be a 911 dispatcher and had to respond to racist calls every day. And then last week I did a show about people calling the police on people because they basically because they were black and you know, and they felt uncomfortable or whatever, suspicious about them being black and whatever scenario these people might have been on. One girl's waiting for the bus inside the doorway of somebody's house. Another man pushing his kid. Another guy was babysitting two Caucasian children. He was, of course, African American. And you know, so you know, just they say she gets those kind of calls all the time. She's a police dispatcher. So she got a call about this guy barbecuing, which the police don't really come out immediately for that. Just for something like that, they're gonna check it out, but they're not running out to a barbecue to see if a guy's barbecuing somewhere. It's, you know, it's not an emergency. But she said what happened was the person that made the call started fighting this person at the barbecue. Now they had to call, they got another 911 call. They had to go out to the fight. You know, so another one, a call was a woman was pushing a shopping cart in front of my house. She's black, so from Pacific Standard. Native Americans are suing North Dakota over voter suppression. Jim Crow. What is going on here? What's happening in our country? Now it appears Native Americans, North Dakotans, are unable to vote even when they have proof of their residential address. That's crazy. That's from Masood. I don't know how to say the name. Heyun. Sounds like maybe that's how you pronounce it. Excuse me. Native Americans are suing North Dakota over a voter identification measure, the same kind of thing we just talked about, right? They say it's turning the state's tribal nations away from the polls. Why would they want to do that? Let's see why. The suit seeks an injunction against the state requirement that voters present identification stating their residential address. Many Native Americans living on rural tribal lands in North Dakota do not have residential addresses because those lands are typically without named and numbered roads. They say that Republicans wanted to suppress the Native American vote is working. The Guardian, Julian Brave says, Heidi Heitkamp, the right-leaning Democrat from North Dakota, in 2012, Heitkamp won the race for the U.S. Senate on a razor-thin margin of 3,000 votes. Her path to victory leaned heavily on support from North Dakota's 46,000 Native Americans, who make up 5.5% of the state population and are a core Democratic constituency across the rural West. So the Republican Party is well aware of this. Just 5 months after the 2012 election, the Republican held a North Dakota legislature passed a new voting law without any hearings or debate on the bill. Final text. So that means they probably waited till people weren't there, rushed to have a meeting, and just passed this law with about 10 people or 30 people in there. I don't know. That sounds crazy to me. It sounds like we have a serious problem with our legislators on all levels. In 2015, the state made the law even stricter, prohibiting the use of student, military, and expired IDs, limiting the use of absentee ballots without ID, and freezing the list of acceptable forms of identifications. What is going on here, y'all? Okay, then we have a white man kill two black customers at a Kentucky grocery store, police say. The Guardian, an arrest report says 51-year-old Gregory Allen Bush walked to the store outside Louisville, pulled a gun from his waist, and shot a man in the back of the head. Now, this man was in the store, I think, with his 12-year-old grandson, maybe, I think, 12 or 14-year-old grandson. Then he kept shooting him after he shot him in the back of the head as he was down on the floor. The report says Bush then reholstered his gun, walked outside, and killed a woman in the parking lot. She's just, on her way to the store. She gets gunned down by the same guy. This guy named Ed Harrell was quoted by the Courier Journal at Louisville as saying he was waiting for his wife in the parking lot when he heard gunshots, grabbed his revolver. He crouched down and said he saw a gunman walk nonchalantly out of the store with a gun at his side. He said he called out to ask what was going on, and the gunman replied, "Don't shoot me. I won't shoot you. Whites don't shoot whites." Authorities uncertain of the motive, but witness claims suspect told another white man, "Whites don't shoot whites." Evening Standard, Kathy Clifton, the suspect in the Pittsburgh synagogue massacre in which 11 Jewish people died, has pleaded not guilty to federal murder and hate crimes. Can you believe that? Robert Bauer spoke little in court other than to say he understood the 44 charges and to enter a, of course, not guilty plea. So Provocative Thought was saying, really? Like, this is bizarre. This doesn't even seem like it's real. It's like something you write up in a movie or something like that. It's like somebody just took time and just took 60 years off of it or something and just went into this thing. Like, really? Oh, the guy just murdered two black people after engaging in a brief gunfight with a white man, and he yells, "Don't shoot me, I won't shoot you. Whites don't shoot whites." I'd say that was racially motivated. Where did he get that idea from anyway? Most whites are murdered by other whites. Now, you know, come on, this guy needs to at least do his homework. If you just hate black people like that, just say the truth. You already killed two people. Anyway, Washington Post by Cleve R. Woodston Jr. Someone called the police on a black man who was reading a book about Christianity while watching the ocean. Black people have had authorities sicked on them while going to the gym, shopping for underwear, waiting for the school bus, and couponing. Many of the incidents go viral, held up as examples of insidious everyday racism. It's ridiculous. From USA Today, Marina Petofsky. She says that hate crimes have seen an increase in the cities across the U.S. and California alone. The number spiked 44% between 2014 and 2017, up to 1,093 hate crimes last year. The state's attorney general office reported last week. The total number of hate crimes in the 10 largest cities in America jumped in 2017. Making four straight years for an uptick in such incidents. The Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University found a 12.5% increase in incidents reported by police last year in Chicago, Dallas, Houston, Los Angeles, New York, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, and San Jose, California. Something is wrong with this picture. Now, has this been going on all the time, or is this is just something that the media, this guy's saying it's a spike and people reporting it? You know, so maybe a lot of things happen and people don't report it. You know, what is going on here? Texas Tribune said black Americans are still victims of hate crimes more than any other group. I don't know if anybody remembers James Byrd. He was dragged to death in Texas 20 years ago in 1998, Jasper, Texas. He became one of the namesakes for the 2009 federal law expanding hate crimes on legislation. But just 100 hate crimes have been pursued by federal prosecutors between 2010 and 2018. That's on a federal level, y'all. Is somebody trying to incite something, create a greater division between whites or a certain group of white people and blacks and minorities and things like that? And I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Is this, you know, something that have anything to do with the what occurred in 2017? Or something that occurred in 2017. So, you know, because they mentioned 2017. You know, what's going on? So, you know, Mr. James Burry was beaten, stripped, naked, tied to the back of a truck by three men from the Ku Klux Klan and dragged down a dirt road until he was dead and decapitated. Come on, it's 1998. Yeah, 1998. That's incredible. You know, in 2009, Bird became one of the name. Oh, him and our guy by Matthew Shepard became the namesakes for this anti-hate crime division. So, some of us may have thought Emmett Till, the 14-year-old who was tortured, murdered, and thrown in the Tallahassee River and Money, Mississippi, was the last time something of that magnitude had happened. It makes you wonder how often these things or things like this actually happen, because we don't really know, you know, because there's a lot of murders that we don't know, unsolved murders and things like that. A lot of people go missing and things like that. We don't know what happened to them. Are they victims of this? So back to the story. But just 100 hate crimes, including 10 in Texas, of the 100 federal hate crimes that are being investigated, 10 of them were in Texas. And that happened to be the place where JFK was assassinated also. Not an African-American, but, hey, I'm just saying, Texas seems to be a rough place for people who aren't light. If they don't like you, sound like you in Texas, you're going to have a hard time. You know, had a brother had an invasion, home invasion of a off-duty police officer killed him, and they apparently tried to attempt to put the brother on trial. You know, what's going on here, you know. So anyway, said so we have been pursued by federal prosecutors between January 2010 and January 2018, according to the News 21 analysts of the court documents. They say that half of those cases across the country and half of those in Texas involve racially motivated violence against Black Americans. So they had 20, and half of them was racially motivated violence against Black Americans. That's on the federal level, y'all. So it's not saying, it may not saying that nothing happened outside of the federal level. That's just from this federal destination. The numbers do not include hundreds of other cases prosecuted in local and state courts. See? Okay. Since 1995, Black Americans have been the victims of 66% of all racially motivated hate crimes, according to the FBI data collected from local law enforcement agencies. That's since 1995. Did anybody feel that? That's listening. Anybody feel that? You know, I know we have a lot of violence in the community, and these people are saying since 1995, Black Americans have been the victims of 66% of all racially motivated hate crimes. While Black Americans have long been targets of hate, advocacy groups and victims told News 21 in 2016, possessed in the 2016 presidential campaign of the election of President Donald Trump may have encouraged more people to express their intolerance towards Black Americans. So now they're tying this to the election campaign. This is not even since he became president, this is before Donald Trump became president. Christina Crowder was driving down the interstate in Houston with her two biracial daughters in the back seat last year when a car pulled up next to her and the driver opened his windows. He started shouting phrases like, "Go back to," you know, cuss word, "Africa," and "Trump should build a wall for you," N-word, then began to swerve toward her. She said she'd been living in Houston all her whole life and hadn't experienced things like that, Crowder said. "There are different looks that even my children get since Trump became president." Here's an individual that's noticing a difference since the event of Donald Trump, which I guess would make you think, is Donald Trump a racist? Is he trying to incite the, you know, racism and violence and indifference towards minorities? From the historically unwelcoming American South to cities across America, federal hate crimes against Black Americans in recent years have ranged from brutal beatings and violent killings to burning churches, firebombing homes, and outspoken threats of harm. Come on. Is this 19? 50, 60, this stuff never really stopped. This tells me this stuff never really stopped. It was just never put in the forefront. Booker T. Hunter, 89, the founder of the president of the NAACP in Jasper for the last 40 years. He said the history of birds' death, people never got over it. He said we really haven't healed from that since. It's still going on. Now, I think I saw something on television about this place. And they have a cemetery with a segregated cemetery where the blacks had buried at the bottom and the whites buried at the top or something like that. I think that's Jasper. Anyway, that's crazy right there. And there is a such place like that. I'm not sure if it was Jasper or not, but I think it was Jasper. Targeted in most violent crime. For those 50 federal hate crimes targeting black Americans, News 21 revealed hundreds of court documents and indictments to determine just how often perpetrators were prosecuted under federal hate crime statutes. Many perpetrators had affiliations with white supremacist groups or evoked white power during acts of violence and verbal harassment. So maybe that is the government has moved to this hate crimes statute to address it. I don't know, but that's kind of like after the fact, so I don't know. During a Bible study meeting at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina, 3 years ago, a young white supremacist shot and killed 9 black parishioners. Y'all know this guy because he was taken to McDonald's after he did it. Dylan Roof was convicted of 33 federal hate crime charges and sentenced to death for the attack. In Dubuque, Iowa, the same year, charges were brought against a white man with a swastika tattoo who assaulted a black American man and repeatedly kicked and jumped on his head until he was unconscious, according to federal court records. In June 2011, a group of white teenagers drove around Jackson, Mississippi, harassing black Americans. They found 48-year-old James Craig Anderson in the motel parking lot and attacked him, shouting, "White power!" Security footage shows that when Anderson tried to stand up after the attack, they ran him over with a pickup truck and killed him. The three were convicted of one count of conspiracy and one count of violating the Shepherd Bird Act. That's that federal statute. State Senator Barbara Blackmun, a Democrat from Mississippi, said Anderson's killing made her wonder just how far we've come. And you know, I'm wondering it too, because, you know, what is going on? All this violence towards, makes me think that this stuff has been going on. Even if it's increased, it was always happening. Just, you know, because we don't hear much about that as we hear about black-on-black crime and all these criminal organizations. We don't hear a lot about this kind of stuff right here in the media. At least I don't. Maybe I'm not listening enough. Maybe I'm asleep when that comes on or whatever. I'm not hearing a lot about it. So I don't know what you guys, how you guys feel about that either. I'm hearing more stuff about the black-on-black crime and crime, period, but not any kind of hate crimes and things like that. Seems to be a lot of that going on. Intolerance against black America has existed since they were forced into slavery, targeted for racial lynchings, and denied equal rights. Despite the passage of hate crime legislation and civil rights protections, black Americans disproportionately face acts of intimidation, extremist rhetoric, and life-threatening violence. This is the county, the country, has not yet overcome this history. James Byrd was murdered in 1998 by 3 white men. We live in hate history. Reliving a history of hate. In early 2016, Jordan Williams found the nigger word, the N-word written twice in black permanent marker on a wall outside his apartment in Denton. You know, he said his parents experienced that in the 60s and the 70s. And they talked about it, but he never thought that he would live through something like that. Well, you can't say that no more, okay? According to the NAACP, that means no one really knows, no one really knows how many times black Americans have been victims of hate crimes. We don't know. They say that, according to available data, FBI, only about 2% of the total hate crimes are reported to the Bureau. So we don't really know how many times it is. Because, you know, sometimes people just handle their own thing, shout back, throw a rock back, pull their gun out, too. And sometimes I'm not saying these are actual scenarios that come, but maybe they just handled it. Maybe they just walked away, ignored it, and stuff like that, and didn't find a need to report it. Dana Marks, a senior associate director of the Southwest Regional Office of the Anti-Defamation League, said political tensions in America are prompting people to publicly act on or express their hate and biases. She said she has seen an increase in hate crime victims and incidents at the ADL in Houston. There's lockdown South stuff going on right here. Hate is always there under the surface, but sometimes people hate more openly, Mark said. We still have a long, long way to go since the Civil Rights Movement. How about since slavery? I think we come a little way since then because of laws, but I don't think as people we're much farther along. So these people are saying they don't think that we've moved that much farther along. We've moved some, but not that much farther along. Sounds that way. Sounds like all it takes is for the right person to say or to imply, insinuate, you know, F those N-words or those Mexicans or those, Asians or those, whoever, Latinos, you know. All it takes is the right person to kind of give that kind of impression to some people, and they're off to the races. Knocking people in the head, writing stuff on their houses, you know. Come on. A 2018 report by the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino, found that hate crimes reported to police in the 10 largest cities in America increased by 12.5% since 2017. So there's that 2017 again, y'all. I'm just saying that these people are just saying it's a correlation here. I'm not saying this is just the information. Correlation between an increase. So the stuff been going on. Marking the fourth consecutive annual rise in a row and the highest spike in more than a decade. In 2017, anti-black crimes were among the most common in the nation's 10 largest cities, according to this study. And I named it 10 largest cities. On a June morning, Deborah Davis, a black woman in Creole, Michigan, and her ex-husband woke up to find racial slurs spray painted on her family's 2011 Chevrolet Silverado, including the word, the N-word, and white power. And, you know, so they're saying that I don't think that people that perpetuate crimes against black people has changed, Davis said. The only thing that's changed is you have a person in the White House that accepts you saying that's how you feel. That's another connection somebody's pointing towards 2017 and particularly the White House. U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions has said Trump's administration and the Justice Department are committed to reducing violent crime and making America safe. As you know, hate crimes are violent crimes. No person should have to fear being violently attacked because of who they are and what they believe or how they worship, Sessions said at last year's Hate Crime Summit in Washington, D.C. They quoted him saying, "So I pledge to you, as long as I am Attorney General, the Department of Justice will continue to protect the civil rights of all Americans, and we will not tolerate targeting of any community in our country." Since 1995, Black Americans have been targeted in 34.6% of all hate crimes reported to the FBI, despite making up only about 13.2% of the country's population. Furthermore, only about 12% of the nation's police departments reported any hate crimes to the FBI in 2015 and 2016. Sounds like there might be some kind of wall there at the lower level of the quasi-military organization. Just throwing that out there. A News 21 analyst of the hate crimes reported to the FBI from 2012 to 2016 determined that, on average, 16.6 million Black Americans, or 39.5% of the country's Black population, lived in a county that reported no anti-Black hate crimes in a given year. Many victims told News 21 that authorities were skeptical of their claims, and they needed to record hateful incidents for police to believe them and prosecutors to pursue hate crime charges. Now, you can believe that because we saw what happened in a lot of these police shootings, that if there wasn't somebody with a phone videotaping it, then these guys would probably get away with a lot of this stuff because it's whatever they say. And for some reason, the courts like to take the word of the police officers who are known not to tell the truth because they are people first. Police officers, I don't know, maybe second or third, I don't know. I don't know whatever else they are, but everybody, you're a human being first. I don't care what uniform you have on. So I can understand that. That makes a lot of sense. And if we're living in a society that devalues minorities, then if someone who's not a minority assaults a person of a minority, then that person who's not a minority might be protected by those people who are supposed to uphold and defend the law. That's very possible. It's happened. As a matter of fact, it has happened. Let's just go and say it. It has happened in this country. That's nothing new. Right? So a student at Radford University in Virginia spent an hour cowering behind his door, Mr. Godfrey Prehome, while his roommate repeatedly shouted the N-word, banged on his door, and threatened to slit his throat. He said people wouldn't have believed him if he hadn't filmed the incident. Now, this is repeatedly. Now, look, it sounds to me like minorities are coming to their own defense by these cell phones and these cameras and stuff like that. We don't have cameras because our cell phones are cameras now, but now they feel so unprotected by the law that they feel the need that they have to, you know, record what's happening in order for people to see. And maybe even not even then, you might not even get justice. But that's a constant theme also. That basically saying now we do not receive justice under the law. Nobody's even going to believe what he's saying. So he has to record it. That's a crying shame when you have as I did last week, you had people just calling up on Black people, standing somewhere, pushing his own baby, babysitting, just calling the police on them, pushing a cart past somebody's house. People just calling the police on them. But these people here who are being victimized by racism feel they have to record what's going on, you know. What does that say about American justice for minorities? Especially Blacks. So, this is what happened to Radford University released a statement condemning the language used in the video and investigated the case. But his roommate was allowed to remain a student. This guy wasn't kicked off of the campus. He threatened racial intimidation, and he threatened that. That goes under that federal law, and he threatened to slit this guy's throat. So that's at least, and he's banging on the door trying to get in. He's allowed to stay on the campus, and he recorded what happened. Every lesson cycle, there is an increase in intolerance and racial hatred, said Steve Spritzer, CEO of the Michigan Roundtable for Diversity and Inclusion. The last presidential election cycle, it seemed to be at a higher level, but the difference is it's not stopped. Even though this person got elected, they are still speaking hate with great hatred and inspiring people to be hateful. Where are we living? What time is it? And this guy's pointing back another road, pointing back to the White House, to the top of the White House. What is going on? The National NAACP Conference in July, Leon W. Wilson, chairman of the NAACP Board of Directors, said, xenophobia, the fear of others, has surged in the past 2 years. I don't know about that. How about you just don't like people? The fear. I don't think it's fear. I think people just they just don't like black people, these people. So are they really afraid of them? Do you really try to attack people who aren't, who are not presenting themselves as violent towards you? You attack them? That doesn't make sense to me. You know what I'm saying? If you were like the lady that tried to stop the black guy from going to his apartment building, if she was afraid of him, she wouldn't step in front of him. I wouldn't. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello.
Hey, this is Q.
Hello.
Can you
How
hear
you
me?
Doing, Q?
This is Q.
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I agree with you saying, you know, they all are getting hyped up, mainly because that man is in the president seat now. You know, we had our president, now they have their president. Everything that they want to hear. He even claimed himself to be a nationalist. So you take out the white part, not the, you know, so technically he's not saying he's a white nationalist, but he said he's a nationalist.
He's a nationalist.
Actually, say he's one of them, but he is saying he's one of them, you know what I'm saying? But he talks their talk, and they love it. And they react to it. He just won't admit it.
Right. So what's the problem? I mean, because black folks have been under white presidents for what? What we got, 44? What is he, 40 what, 6? 40 what?
45.
We've been under black presidents for forever, really, until Obama, right?
Right.
And, I mean, under white presidents, since, you know, before Obama, that's all we had. I mean, like, what is the problem here? We're all Americans, right? Obama was a very qualified a presidential candidate and president. This guy we got in now, they say, is not qualified for the job, but he has the job. So, but I don't see what the problem is. He's a white guy in office. You don't see black people saying they don't want to this white guy in office. You know what I'm saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hearing that kind of chatter. They might say that they feel that he's not qualified for the job. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't hear anybody complaining that he's white. I didn't hear anybody. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, like nobody's. You know. So what's going on? I mean, why is it such a? So is this backlash from 8 years of Obama? This is. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. That's what it is.
8 years of Obama plus the current presidency, now folks are just going off the tilt.
Right.
You know, and I never.
I was going to say, Trump base is, his base feeds on that stuff. All that stuff is like, you know, helps him to, I guess, to stay alive and keep control of the party, you know what I mean? Because without his base, I think he'd be in trouble. I don't think that the regular Republicans, a lot of them like him. I think that's what Mueller and them represent. They represent the regular
That's interesting. That's very interesting. You know why? Because if you say the regular Republicans didn't like him, how did he win the electoral vote? You know what I'm saying? He lost the popular vote, but he won the electoral vote. So how did he win that? You know what I'm saying?
Well, they still got the plan in effect. They still got the plan in effect to get a Republican in there. It just wasn't
right.
The Republican that they wanted.
Right.
He got,
you're saying all Republicans don't back him.
I'm saying they didn't. I don't think the main people wanted him to win. But everybody got all hyped up on what he was saying and all the stupidness he was saying. And he won. And once that guy won, those people had to get behind him, make sure they Republican guy won the electorate. So that's what happened.
Right. Well, when I see a guy, when I see a president win the electoral vote and loses as much as he lost in the public vote polls, I'd say that it was already meant for him to be president.
Right.
And somebody already had that plan. That was going to happen no matter what. And that's what that means to me, that, you know, you can't lose that many votes, popular votes, and you shouldn't, that person should never be president of the United States. Electoral votes means somebody got a chance to vote twice, but that's another show.
Yeah, I don't understand why they won't get rid of that fix. That's a wrench in the whole Democratic thing, that makes it anti-Democratic, you ask me.
Right,
but,
at least in terms of the presidency.
Right.
So they're basically saying,
like,
you don't vote for your president.
Like, right. Let me think of who it is. It's this commercial. This coach is trying to motivate his team. He said, "We don't quit. We don't quit for nothing except cable. We quit cable." You know what I mean? So
right.
We vote. We vote for everything. Every time there's an election, we get out there and we vote. And it matters. Except for presidency, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Just like
mm-hmm.
just like that commercial. You know what I mean? Everything matters.
Right.
Except for presidency, your vote don't count there.
Right. Exactly. Okay, hold on, can we got another caller? Welcome to Babaka's Thought.
You know how I feel. You know how I feel. Why you got to discuss this topic? You know how I feel. And you know what the reasons are. Stop it. You know what the reasons are. You know that racism had never left this country. As long as we have different groups, it will always call. As long as we have groups, one group always going to feel they're better than another group. That is like the psychological, political reasoning. But historically, whether it be ancient or modern times, white culture has always had some type of racist or negative attitudes towards African peoples of the world. This is not only happening in the United States, my man. This is happening in London, Australia, all over the world, even on the homeland. But to keep it at home in the United States of America,
the melting pot.
Legislation? I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to tell you what truly happened. When Obama won the presidency, they interviewed a Congress. That day, he said, okay, history is made, but boy, we're going to give him a tough time. You have your day. Talk about us. You have your day.
Right.
Well, boy, it's not going to be an easy ride. The Tea Party, were constructed. Now, some of them are the head of the House, the head of the Senate. The Tea Party were constructed for one thing and one thing only, not to pass President Obama's bills.
Right.
And that, that is the at all. And that is a recent practice. And you know, it kills me when I hear certain people in our culture say, oh, racism is dead. There's no, I mean, back then, when Obama was president, mm-hmm. and even during the Clinton years. Matter of fact, I'm glad Trump is president. You know why I'm glad Trump is president? Because it wakes, you know, it wakes us up. We've been sleeping for a long time. We've been asleep at the wheel. That's how Trump became president. We've been sleeping at the wheel. We took things for granted because we got a couple CEOs, because we got a corporate leaders, we have a black president, we have black ambassadors, the UN is run by a black man, or used to be anyway. So the behaviors and the attitude towards us never left. Now, what happened? It was suppressed. I say it was suppressed. But President Trump woke it up. And I'm glad he woke it up. And you talk about in every sphere of life, college, employment, schools, police, I mean law enforcement, politics, the practice towards the black man has been racist. That's why we still today we gotta have talk shows like this. They even got rid of black talk radio on the radio, man. So we gotta have black talk radio on the internet. So Carlton, you know, my racism never went away. Look at everybody. Put Bill Clinton on the highest plane. Bill Clinton had sent more black men to prison than any other, even more than Nixon. Before it was Nixon. Nixon had the top dog. But
on drugs.
Yes, Bill Clinton, and he was supported by black mayors. Now, they didn't know what to do. It was a rough time. You know, it was chemical warfare and what have you. They did not know what to do. So they sent us to prison. 2 million. 2 million. So the practices of this country have never been supportive of a black man. And I hope that anyone listening, white or black, I hope you're not surprised. I hope you're not surprised. It's been murdering us for centuries. For centuries. For no
reason. Before the slave ships, right?
Before the slave ships. Come on, man.
Right.
Come on. You know, so.
Okay.
Like where I live at, matter of fact, we're just having a discussion at lunch. I said, you boys and girls gotta get out there, vote on Tuesday, get this black woman. And you know what? We even got some infiltrators in our culture that talk all this black power, black unity, and this. As soon as they get where they gotta go, boom, they turn the other way. So you gotta be careful. But there's about 70 races across the country involving African Americans. You got a governor in Florida, a young brother. And I bet you in 2024 he'll be running for president. You got a governor.
Oh, yeah.
Gillum,
what's his name? I was listening to him.
Yeah.
Can you get another call? We got six more minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Hold on. Just stay
here.
All right. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Hello, is that me?
Yes, sir.
Hello, is that me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
Right. First off, Carlton, my man, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
All right, hold on. You just saying the old
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
First off, let's start with some foundational rules. It's time for black folks to grow up and stop being intelligent. So let's set this ground with them. First off, it's been a race war from the door. From the very beginning, it's been a race war. And then we are in a protracted war to the extinction with the whites and the offspring. Second, no white man nowhere in history and any time, place in the world has ever lived well without feeding off black people. Third, we're crying about racism. Why? Why would you want, do we want to be loved and appreciated and treated as equal by our life enemy? What peace can be made to soothe the spirits of our ancestors, of our children? You know what I mean? The war has never ended. These people have taken the resources garnered by the greatest Holocaust that ever existed in the world and developed a system of perpetual genocide against us. So how can you be in a race war and complain about somebody being racist? Let's look at that word, racist. If you start out, if you look at it, write it down, look at it, all it's saying is race first. Everybody else is race first but us. We're the only ones trying to prove that we're not racist and getting our ass whooped with a privilege. You know what I'm saying? And now, I'm sorry to say, you know what they say the definition of insanity is repeating the same process over and over again and expecting a different outcome. There has never been a free election in America, and there never will be. Do you think the people who did what they did to us would turn around and set up a system where they would jeopardize that power to a vote? And I think that's childish. That's more of an illusion. That's a theater that they put on every 4 years to give powerless people the impression that they have power over their lives. But that was a white-on-white crime, and that's somehow they tricked the poor whites into going fighting and murdering for them all over the world. And Negroes fell for it. You know what I mean? See, they trick Negroes all the time. They tell you, you can't do that. You can't have that. You can't vote. That's a white vote. So we, silly children that we are, we say, oh, that must be our new fight. So we're going to fight the vote. Just like we fought to sit next to white folks on the talk. And at the lunch counter, instead of building our own. And gave up our own. Gave up our own economy to sit next to white folks who to force ourselves on somebody who would rather die than integrate with you. You know what I mean? Integration killed us. You know what I mean? Integration was the worst thing ever happened to black folks. And the only thing worse than integration was black police. You know what I mean? They gave us black police. To think we had an inside head. If not for the black police, we'd have been tore this motherfucker. I mean, this thing up, this place up, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? We'd have been the fight for real liberation. We'd have been clear on what was going on. But now we're not. You know what I mean? We're deceived and we're playing election games. There's no election that can do you. You can't vote yourself for. You didn't vote yourself in. How you gonna vote yourself? You're talking about every Negro that they come up ain't gonna do nothing. No more than Obama. Obama ain't no different than Bush. Everybody running out. Why are we still acting like children, complaining about how bad this man Trump is? How easily we forget how bad that man Bush was. How bad that man Reagan was. How bad. Obama did more damage than Trump ever could. Obama waged war single-handedly. They used it, but they single-handedly waged war on the whole African world. You cannot deny us or our homosexuality. Race first. Okay, you're in a war, and don't let them stop you from hating. Hating is the basis of our rejection of them and their ill culture. I love y'all.
Yes, sir. We off the air. Listen, We gotta come back, man.
Yes, sir. All you gotta do is.
All right. Okay. Gotta go now.
My man. Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Peace.